Welcome back to Blueprint for Wealth. I'm Wayne Zell, and with me today is our special guest, Doug McPherson, who's a broker representative at Lara, Scholl & May in Falls Church, Virginia. Welcome, Doug.
Thank you.
Welcome
Enjoy
to the show. Great to have you. And doing the interviewing is my special guest partner, John Dedon, who is one of our premier trusts and estates lawyers and represents clients all across the country on all matters relating to trusts and estates. He is probably one of the best T&E lawyers in the country. Welcome, John, and thanks for being here today.
Wayne, thank you, and thanks for those nice comments. You know, along those lines, we have one of the experts in the financial area here with us. Doug, I'm glad you're here. Tell us a little bit about how you got into the business as a financial planner.
Well, I started in the early 70s and thought it would be great to be in the planning business because I thought that the financial opportunities would be pretty exciting, and started with an insurance carrier and then ultimately decided I wanted to be independent and be on my own.
And you've been in D.C. Since then?
No, I've been in was in the Baltimore area. That's where I started, and came down to D.C. Even though all of our clients, or many of them, were in the D.C. area, I was living in Baltimore and moved down here about 10 years ago.
And you're originally a D.C. native, or you're from some other place?
No, I was from Massachusetts originally, and then moved to Baltimore, and then was up there for some time, and then now I'm down here.
Excellent. Now, you're kind of unique in that not that you're a financial planner, because there are a lot of financial planners, but you've really zeroed in on the construction and contracting business.
Our clients are all in the construction and aggregate industries, and I found them to be just really a truly exciting group of people.
You know, I remember when I began to focus on estate planning back in the early 90s, your name was always mentioned as one of the premier planners who had an expertise in that end. So it's just wonderful that we've had an opportunity to begin to work together. Tell me, what was it that attracted you to those types of clients?
Well, I started working with different people in the financial services field that needed the planning work. But when I got dealing with some construction people, it seemed like they were different. They did not seem to follow the things that the normal financial planner would say was, this is how it works.
You were going to say follow the rules.
Yeah, it's just that's a good point. Yes, the issue was that they just seemed to interpret this information differently.
So you had a challenge that you found in dealing with them that was different from other clients. What did you do to address that challenge?
Well, we came up with some ideas. First of all, I really like them. I'm a morning guy, and I used to see a lot of them early in the morning, which ruled out most financial planners because they like to show up at 9:30, and I was having lunch at 9:30, I'd meet them early. But I had a couple of psychologists out in California work with me, and they say there's something about these types of people, and we came up with three things. Of course, hindsight's always 20/20. It's pretty simple. But the first thing was that they are very high visual people. In other words, the visual component is huge, and they are really unusual in the population. And that's why, for people in this industry, their idea of success is 480 trucks with my name on it.
Interesting. It really is. Yeah.
So you began to structure your presentation and the services you can provide with a heavy visual component.
Yes. The visual component was very, very important. They like pictures. In other words, don't show me a 20-page trust that I can bore myself by reading. Show me a picture of what it means and how it works.
What else did you find with the psychiatrist or psychologist you hired?
Right. Well, and the second thing was that they like things done in sequence. Of course, when you're a construction contractor, you do things in a sequential way. You do things in steps. And they were not doing any of the step work in their planning. It was just meetings and stuff. So we created this process, which was sequential in nature. And then the third thing that we found was that they're very, very timeline-oriented, meaning it had to be done by Wednesday at noon, a job. And it was a penalty if it wasn't, and but a benefit if it was. So we created a succession and estate planning process for these construction-type people that had these three components. It was all and highly visualized. It was sequential in nature, and it had timelines and priorities put in, and it was just terrific.
You know, Doug, I find that fascinating that as you were trying to serve as clients, you went beyond simply saying, here's products or things that you could take advantage of. You went the next step and actually learned about their business and how to relate to them by getting the psychologists involved.
Well, we wanted them to be the architect of their plan, but then if you put it in a structure and a visual arrangement that they're used to, that's an important way for them to relate to it.
And that process started how long ago?
It started in 1977 when we started. And it's well known now and copyrighted here and overseas.
So tell me about that. It has evolved then into a process you take your clients through, and you've actually copyrighted that, and it's a proprietary product you have.
Yes, we found that we really didn't have much other competition relative to the type of work we do. There are a lot of planning people out there and a lot of advisors we work with, mm-hmm. but there was not a much of a process they went through. I used to have, when I would meet people, I'd say, I'm just tired of all these meetings. We all sit around and just look at stuff and read papers and this and that. And then we all say, well, we'll be in touch. And, and I say, we need to have this all done in visuals and sequence and sequentially, and then timeline it.
And brings them to closure quickly.
Absolutely. And they're used to that, and they think that way.
Have you been able to apply it outside of the construction industry to other professions or other clients?
Well, this process would work for anyone that has this, but we've stayed focused on that. And having, in the area of the succession, we've done 184 succession plans over the last 42 years. And they're all sizes from small to very substantial. And so we've been really privileged with that. I think one of the challenges is when you move outside your niche, even though the process is good, you lose some things, and you got to stay in touch with these people all the time.
Well, I've seen firsthand how effective this is and how it has helped to get from the theory to actually beginning to implement. It's also interesting to me, Doug. Wayne and I, as estate planners, we spend a lot of time looking at the estate tax, as you do, but we all recognize that there is succession planning issues that are just as important as any tax issues, and I know you spend a lot of time dealing with the succession planning as it relates to non-tax issues.
Well, the succession piece, tomorrow has a way of showing up, and sometime you got to figure out if you're going to get off the truck. And I tell them, you're either driving it or you're under it, so let's figure it out.
We're in the back of it.
On the back of it, yes. So that's an important component.
Let's hear a little bit more about that, because I know you work with some of the leading contractors in the D.C. and Baltimore area, and these folks who are not working because they have to, they're working with because they choose to, and sometimes that creates issues as they get on in life.
Well, one of the challenges that there's been a number of them, but one of the major challenges is that we spend so much time with these people, helping them work on a succession structure, and it may be family members, frequently sons, it could be key employees, or a combination of them, or we may end up selling the company. But the real issue for many of them is, I've been doing this for 45 years or whatever. And what do I do now? I mean, what's next? And over the last 3 years, it's become very apparent that there are a lot of people that we have been working with, and we've worked through the succession component. But the question is now, what do I do? And we've created a process. It's called the Meaningful Future Process. And we've had some psychologists involved with that as well. But it's an 8-step process that helps the individual work through where he's going from this point forward. And we have some interesting stories that have come about because of our learning about this concern.
Any stories you can tell us
on
air?
Oh, sure. one fellow is very successful, and they have sons in the business, and they've done extremely well. And I was telling the wife in the meeting, she said, Doug, I need to chat with you on our own. She said, I know you said you're going to try and not retire him, but reinvent him. That's what we got to do. But here's what I want you to know. He left in the dark, and he came home in the dark, and we were married on weekends. And it's been great. I built my life, and she's got a very successful business on her own, and she gardens and bridges, plays bridge, and she's a magnificent person. She said, and it's been great. We have a great marriage. But she said, now you've done all the success and stuff, and now it's time for him to step away, and I just want you to know I don't want him emptying the dishwasher and asking me where we're going for lunch. She said, I married him for better or for worse, not for where we're going for lunch. And she said, and then she had tears in her eyes after that. She said, Doug, we will be divorced if you don't figure out something we can do. And they are very successful people financially. She said, you've got to do that. And we are helping him with our process. And it's been magnificent. It's worked very, very well. And it's been a perfect example of how this thing really works.
You know, that I think what you've illustrated by giving that example, that story, is really important. We do a lot of business succession planning, John and I do. Mm-hmm. We often don't think what happens afterwards. It's like doing a merger or an acquisition, a sale of a business. What happens to the people who leave the business afterwards? And some of them have goals and dreams and they can pursue them, but you really are helping them manage their lives and do so successfully.
Right. Well, for many of these people, you know, you think of, for people in general, you think, gee, they work till they're 65 and then they can go do what they really want. That's not what these people are like. They have been doing what they want.
Right.
And they've had opportunities, and they've traveled, and they've got boats or jets or who knows, and play golf, and that's not it. The question is, what are they going to do that's going to be fulfilling and meaningful for them for the balance of their lifetime? And one of the things we use is the bucket list with Jack Nicholson. And,
sure.
And we go through that. And
Morgan Freeman.
Yeah, Morgan Freeman. I had a wife that's when we were doing that, I had his name on the bucket list, the husband's name, and she said, well, where's mine? And I said, oh, sorry. Yeah. And so now we'd have three bucket lists. It's got his name and it got her name and then our bucket
list. Both, right.
But we've got them prioritized in timeline and we're really working on it. And
oh, how cool.
And one other component of this is the mortality reality, which is part of it. You know, when you figure out what your age is going to be, and we have this all done based on their age, and it doesn't mean you can't live to 100, but like if you're 70, you got 13 years. You know, that's not a lot of time to do a lot of stuff if you got
the clock is ticking.
It's ticking. And
John, the clock is ticking. I just want you to know.
Right.
So, Doug, it's clear there's a tax component to this.
Absolutely.
There's the company succession planning and incentive plans and key employees and so forth. But then the point that you're really bringing out is there's a personal component that's just as important.
Absolutely. And we don't think about that too much, but when you get to know these people, and it's the same for everyone. And I've gone through this process myself and working on my bucket list, and I just, there's, you know, we say, you got to remember now, you're not going to get out of this thing alive, so you better get on the truck and get her going. So.
Well, you know what's really interesting about this is you've evolved with the process you started 30, 35 years ago, and you've now been able to institute the same kind of timelines and priorities for the business owners on the personal side as well.
Well, it's they're familiar with our succession and the process. And by having the visual, sequential, and timeline components, it's worked magnificently well for these great people.
And I've seen that firsthand. It's something that's really of benefit to a lot of these business owners.
We're talking with Doug McPherson, who is a principal with Lara Shull and May, but also has the McPherson Critical Path Process. Doug, if people want to learn more about it or get in touch with you, how do they do that?
They can send us an email. That's email address is Doug M. That's DOUGM at McPherson, McPherson.com. Or they can call my direct number. It's 703-761-3913.
Excellent. Thanks for being a special guest on Blueprint for Wealth.
Well, thank you for having me here.
And John Dedon, thanks for being our special interviewer.
Thank you, Wayne.
And everyone, thanks for listening to Blueprint for Wealth. Join us next week for another special topic and special guest. Have a great week.